go start streaming. And let's see if we pull up anything. Nope. Oh, there it goes. There it goes. There it goes.
Yeah, you can't just hit start and expect it to be there. You gotta wait a minute.
Okay, it worked. Alright, so it worked.
Why? You see it on your phone?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm trying to get on mine. I don't see it yet.
Alright, it worked.
Okay.
Are you on yours?
Yeah.
Alright, son. Thank you very much.
That's like the most common problem. If there's ever a problem, put it back in just to...
Yeah, because it's like it gives it a new address or something, you know?
Pretty much, yeah.
And yeah.
It's like you create a new code on YouTube and then you put it in, so it's like, okay.
Yeah, plus we've been using that code for a long time, so maybe it wanted a new one anyway.
Yeah, I don't know why, but sometimes you just have to put a new stream key in.
All right. Let me... All right, son, I really appreciate it. I'll let you go.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Check, 1, 2. Well, good evening, everyone. Sorry we're half hour late, but that's what happens when you deal with YouTube and things. The stream key was wrong. It's the address where we're sending all this. So somehow it gets messed up, and we have to put a new stream key and a new address to tell it where it goes. So anyway... That's what that is there. So sorry we're late, but that's okay. Anyway, welcome to our Wednesday night online class. It'll be a short lesson tonight, but it'll be mainly scripture. The reason is so those can go back and look them up later and study the scriptures. You can see our email addresses on your screen, both our Gmail and also our regular website and the website email. So if you need to contact us, there's our contact information. Next Wednesday, I plan on doing a little lesson on Jonah, okay? And we have emailed those lessons out just one lesson at a time a week before. And I have those to mail out if you'd like a lesson. I can email you a lesson the week before we go into class. So be on Jonah, okay? So anyway, today we are going to talk about baptism, all right? And is baptism necessary? Is baptism necessary? Is immersion? That's what baptism is. Baptism is immersion, to be put under. To dip, to plunge, to submerge, to be put under. Baptism is never sprinkle. Baptism is never poured. And so we find this in Scripture, the accurate meaning to this word baptism is immersion. And baptism is necessary for everyone to be saved. There's a lot of things out there on the street, and a lot of people tell you that, well, you don't need to be saved by baptism. You can just say a prayer and all kind of things, okay? And the lesson tonight will show it's necessary. And even God's Word continues to show that it is necessary, all right? And so we have here in Mark chapter 16, verse 16, and it reads, "He who believes and is baptized," which means immersed, okay, "will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned." And so we need to consider the examples of conversion that are found in the book of Acts. If you read the book of Acts from beginning to end, you'll see a bunch of different conversions. You'll see how the gospel was preached and how illustrated it is in this book. And it'll show you what the people were told to do, and it'll show you exactly what they did do in order to be saved. So in every example we see in the book of Acts about those, the people were immersed. And so we can demonstrate that on this next slide here. And here is just a short example of the conversions that are found in the book of Acts. We have the day of Pentecost, Acts 2, 36 through 42. Those people heard after our Lord and Savior was crucified and put to death. The people heard, and so they repented. They repented of their sins. They turned from what they were doing. They turned from the world, and they started following Christ. They wanted to follow Christ, all right? And then they were baptized, verse 38 through 41. The Samaritans, they heard. They believed, okay? And so they were baptized. Simon, he heard. He believed, and he was baptized. The eunuch in Ethiopia, he heard. He confessed, all right? He believed in God, and then he was baptized. We have Paul, which was Saul. He heard. He was on the road to Damascus that day, and Ananias, and later on he was baptized. And remember, baptism is immersion. Now remember, Saul was not saved on the road when he prayed and all that. That prayer did not save him. Baptism washes away sins, and it does save us, and I can prove that here in Scripture. We have Lydia, okay? We have the jailer. We have the Corinthians, and we have the men at Ephesus. So the preaching at the bottom of your screen is done to create faith, okay? Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We have the hearing passages there, the faith passages, the repentance, the confession, and the baptism passages. So we have here, is baptism necessary? But what does baptism, or what does immersion accomplish? Well, number one, it accomplishes the forgiveness of sins. In Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Then Peter said to them, "Repent and let every one of you be immersed in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." All right? Even Acts chapter 22, verse 16, and it reads as this, "And now why are you waiting? Arise, be baptized," which means to be immersed, "and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, "In him, in Christ, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace." So we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit when we are immersed into Christ. And we have John chapter 7, verse 37, okay? And it reads as this, 37 and 38, "On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, 'If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scriptures have said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water.'" And it continues to read in verse 39, "But he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believed in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified." Acts chapter 2, verse 38 again. "Then Peter said to them, 'Repent and let every one of you be baptized. Let every one of you be immersed in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.'" Even in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, and it reads, "For by one Spirit we are all baptized, we are immersed into one body." Okay, so we are brought into that one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and all have been made to drink into one Spirit. So we have the union in Christ. We see on our screen the third one down, the union in Christ, and that's what the baptism accomplishes. John chapter 15, 4 and 5. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide or you continue. That's what he's saying. Abide, continue, okay? In me. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides, he who continues in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Even Galatians chapter 3, verse 27. And it reads, for as many of you as were immersed into Christ have put on Christ. Verse 26 says that you are sons through immersion. And you were sons, and being immersed into Christ, he's saying. And so we have the newness of life, okay, from the accomplishments of baptism. The newness of life in Romans chapter 3, verse 6, or excuse me, Romans chapter 6, verse 3 and 4. Or do you not know that as many of us as were immersed into Christ Jesus were immersed into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through immersion, all right, into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. And he continues by saying, for if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin, for he who has died has been freed from sin. Even in the book of Colossians, it reads in Colossians chapter 2, verse 11 and 12, in him, in Christ, you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of sin of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in immersion, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. And so we read about the salvation, okay, and about what that accomplishes in Christ. So we read again in Mark chapter 16, verse 16, he who believes and is immersed will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21, there's also an antitype which now saves us. Now, if you go back to verse 20 of 1 Peter chapter 3, you'll see Noah and the eight souls that were saved, and they were saved through water, through the ark, okay, through that big boat, all right, through the ark. So the correlation is here is that water saved them through a means, through the ark, and here we have baptism, which means immersion, okay, and that's what this is saying. There's also an antitype which now saves us, immersion. Remember, that's what baptism is. It's immersion. Never sprinkle, never pour. That's man-made stuff, okay? And it says, not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And also we go on to read Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. So we have here again about baptism is necessary to save us, but some will talk about, well, what about the thief on the cross? All right, what about the thief on the cross? So we see the high priest Christ, he could forgive the sins of anyone he wanted, okay? And so while on earth, he could do that. Mark chapter 2, it reads as this, verse 5 through 10. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven you. And some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But immediately, when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned thus within themselves, he said to them, why do you reason about these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, arise, take up your bed and walk. But that you may know that the Son of Man has the power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic. All right? And so there you go. That's the reasoning. All right? We have the thief on the cross, and we have so many people using that. Well, the thief on the cross didn't have to get baptized. Well, Jesus forgave the sins there. All right? He was the high priest. He could do that. That was before he was killed and went to the grave, and he arose again, and there's so many witnesses, even in Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 3, about all the witnesses that saw that. And so he is the true and living God, seated at the right hand of God. Luke chapter 7, verse 47 through 50. Therefore, I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. Then he said to her, your sins are forgiven. And those who sat at the table with him began to say to themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? So he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. All right, now don't get this confused with the sinner's prayer, which is not found in Scripture anywhere. Romans chapter 10, 9 and 10 is talking about future tense, okay? About when we will be saved. We are saved through immersion, saved through the water, okay? So don't let anyone take that out of context there. So we have here that when he died, Jesus established a new testament, okay? Or a new covenant, which immersion, which baptism is now commanded. All right, so the thief on the cross lived under an old system, an Old Testament. We live under a new system, a new testament, a new covenant. All right, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 15 through 16 reads as this, or verse 17 reads as this, 15 through 17. And for this reason, he is the mediator of the new covenant by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where there is a testament, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is in force after men are dead, since it has no power at all while the testator lives. While you're alive and living, you can take your will, you can change it as much as you want, okay? All right? You can, whatever you want in your will, oh, wait a minute, I don't like this, so let me change this. But after you're gone and passed away, you can't change that will. So this is what's going on here. And so we have Mark chapter 16, verse 16. He who believes and is immersed will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Even Acts 2:38 again reads, then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be immersed in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Okay? And so we have the illustration here of the thief on the cross. And on your left column, you have the law of Moses still in effect. The thief was under the law of Moses. The law is nailed to the cross with Christ. You can see the verses there. The testator can ignore the will. I mean, you know, just like I mentioned a few minutes ago, the testament has no strength. The thief, a possible backslider, all right, died before the will is probated. But you see in the center of your screen, it says that Christ said that you'll be with me in paradise. And on the right side of your screen, we have the New Testament is now in force, okay? And so we are under Christ, all right? In the purpose of the law, even in Galatians chapter 3, verse 19, it reads, what purpose then does the law serve? It was added because of transgressions, okay? It was added because of transgressions till the seed, all right? Till is a verb of time, okay? till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was appointed through angels by the hand of a mediator. Now a mediator does not mediate for one only, but God is one. Is the law in verse 21 then against the promise of God? Certainly not. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, truly righteousness would have been by the law. But the Scripture has confined all under sin, that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. But before faith came, we were kept under guard by the law, kept for the faith which would afterward be revealed. Therefore, the law, the Old Testament, was our tutor, okay, our instructor, to bring us to Christ. That was the whole deal right there, is to move everyone to Christ, that we might be justified by faith, okay? But after faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor. And so we have the will of Christ that is now in effect, and heirs according to that will. And we have these examples here on your screen. Well, baptism, all right, is necessary. Immersion is necessary. Immersion is essential in the gospel. And an apostolic sermon, it comes to its logical conclusion. An effort ought to be made to restore this note in our preaching. And you see the quote there. So, Acts 22:16, all right? Why are you waiting? Arise, be immersed, wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. So baptism is necessary. Baptism is necessary, and these verses show it. And so, yes, why are you waiting? Our final verses for this evening is Acts chapter 8, verse 35 through 38. Philip opened his mouth, and beginning at the Scriptures, preached Jesus to him. Now, as they went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What hinders me from being immersed, baptized?" I mean, if baptism means sprinkle, why didn't Philip just take go down to the water and dip a cup and just pour it over his head? Didn't have to get out of the chariot, didn't have to get his clothes wet, none of that stuff. Baptism does not mean to pour or sprinkle, okay? And so we see that Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, that's where that comes in. We have to have that belief, okay? You may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that Christ is the authority, okay? And so he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he immersed him. You might be asking what you need to do to be saved. And here it is on your screen. I show it every week. I show it at every lesson, right? Hearing the word, believing that word, repenting of your sins, turning away from that lifestyle. Turning away from that lifestyle and then being baptized into Christ, being immersed. And here's all the verses right here that show it. And then living that godly life. That's the key, living that godly life. And there are some who are not living a godly life who are Christians. And so does that mean that they have to be immersed again or baptized again? No, God says that they can pray about it, okay? They can pray and that they can repent of their sins, and it'd be just like when they were immersed into Christ. 2 Corinthians 7 verse 10 reads, for godly sorrow produces repentance leading to salvation, not to be regretted, but the sorrow of the world produces death, okay? So, having that godly sorrow and asking God to forgive you, so God will, and God does see your heart. So hopefully, if there's any thoughts or questions about being baptized, you'll email us. And if you want to study more on the topic, but take these verses and read them. And go through and really study them, okay? And see if, you can find out more about God in your life. And pray more about God. But it was great to see you tonight. And sorry for the delay getting going, but YouTube problems again. But hopefully we'll see you next week. I'll be starting a short five lesson series, I think I mentioned before, about Jonah, so maybe you can join us. But anyway, thank you so much for